Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We're delighted we have this time this evening to study the Word of God. If you'll be turning to the Gospel of Mark in the 11th chapter, we'll begin our study there in just a moment of time. The book of Mark in the 11th chapter. We're excited to announce that Sunday morning we'll be meeting at 10:45 for worship. And then we'll meet again Sunday evening at 5 p.m. with Brother Guy doing the preaching. And then Wednesday at 7 we'll meet and have preaching, and everyone will stay in the auditorium. We're so excited to be able to come back together, and we want you to know there will be guidelines so that we can comply with the regulations that are out there for us. There will be some people who will be glad to instruct you with any questions you may have. And we understand if you're sick or at high risk that you may not be able to attend, we'll still put the sermon up on YouTube, and we look forward to the day that you can be back with us. We are excited that we can come together again as the people of God. So we look forward to seeing you Sunday morning at 10:45 if you can be here. And if you can't, we understand completely, and you'll be in our thoughts and prayers, and we look forward to the time that we can all be together again. In the Gospel of Mark, in the 11th chapter, I want to read with you one verse for the thought of our study, and that's verse 11. And Jesus went into Jerusalem, into the temple. So when he had looked around at all things, as the hour was already late, he went out to with the 12. When you study the Bible, the Word of God, you'll find that Jesus taught many wonderful things. I've often thought about what it would have been like to have been there when Jesus ascended the mount and taught what we identify as the Sermon on the Mount. When you look in Matthew chapter 5 through 7, you find Jesus giving the principles of His kingdom. What kind of person you must be to be a citizen in the kingdom of God. And Jesus plainly teaches what one must do. I've often also thought about the great works Jesus performed and the miracles He performed to confirm that He is the Son of God. You remember that on one occasion He fed 5,000. And I thought about what it must have been like to have been there to see that miracle performed and all the people receive food who had gone out into the wilderness to hear Him proclaim the kingdom. Then you think about the fact Jesus raised some from the dead. Could you imagine being there in the book of John in the 11th chapter when Lazarus was raised from the dead? But there's another way you find that Jesus taught, and that is by a look. And I want to talk about the looks of Jesus. You know, if you were like me growing up, when I could act up during worship and I could get a look from my mother. And one thing I knew is that look had meaning. And when I got home, she would show me what she meant. And I'll tell you that there are many great lessons that we can learn from just a look. The first thing I want you to note is in the book of Mark in the 11th chapter that Jesus has gone into the temple. And notice that when He is in the temple, the Bible says He looks around. Jesus is observing all that is going on. First, He's observing the sin that's going on by some of the religious leaders of that day who are charging a temple tax and who are having their sacrifices charged at an exorbitant amount. And Jesus looked and saw that they were making money on the name of God instead of really helping the people worship God. That it had become a business to them, and this would anger the Son of God. And Jesus would look around and see the small things, the obscure things. Maybe someone standing in the corner praying that nobody else noticed, Jesus would have saw that. And so I thought about the look of Jesus, what He saw on that occasion when He went into the temple in Jerusalem. And sometimes you'll find there's a lot to be said about a look. But then if you take your Bible, turn with me to the book of Mark and the 10th chapter. And when you come to the book of Mark and the 10th chapter, notice that Jesus has just so spoken with the rich young ruler. And you'll find that Jesus looked at him in verse 21 and loved him. And then He tells that young man that if he wants to be a disciple, what he must do is sell his goods and come follow Him. And the reason Jesus made that command is because that young man had a covetous heart. He loved his possession so much. So Jesus said, if you want to be my disciple, you must put me first. You must sell those things that you put above me and get rid of anything that distracts you from being a disciple. And you'll remember that young man went away sorrowfully because he loved his possessions. So in verse 23, Jesus looked around. Can you imagine the look? The people had just heard Jesus talk to this rich young ruler. You would think that everybody would be excited. Here's a young man with money. Here's a young man who had authority. They thought Jesus would probably do anything to get him into his kingdom, but Jesus doesn't do that. Jesus teaches the truth to all people. It didn't matter who you were, you had to follow his will. And notice this young man left sorrowfully, and then Jesus looks around and said how hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God. Now, Jesus did not say it's impossible. Now, I want us to understand that Jesus will even say later in verse 27, with men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. The problem is the love of money can distract you. But at this time, look at the fact that Jesus looked around at his disciples. I've often thought about that look. I've often thought about what did his eyes look like, knowing that that rich young ruler had just walked away. And to look at his disciples, what kind of eyes did he have? Just exactly what was his expression? But Jesus tells them, you need to beware, because he said, riches will lead you away from the kingdom of God. The love of money, as Paul said, is the root of all kind of evil. But that brings up a third thing in our study. Open your Bible to the book of Mark and the 8th chapter. And when you come to the book of Mark and the 8th chapter, look, if you will, at verse 31. In verse 31, he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke this word openly. Notice Jesus isn't hiding that he must go to Calvary. But notice the Bible said Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But look at what Jesus does in verse 33. But when he had turned around and looked at his disciples, look at that statement carefully. He wants their attention. Peter takes him aside and rebukes him. Now notice the Lord is about to rebuke Peter. He rebukes Peter and said, get behind me, Satan, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. Now Jesus looks at Peter, and I've often thought about that look. But then he turns and looks at the disciples, and I've thought about that look. I've thought about he gets their attention. And notice Jesus looks when he does not rebuke, but he never rebukes without looking. He turned and looked at his disciples, then he rebuked Peter. Have you ever thought about that look? Have you ever thought about what the disciples must have thought when Jesus turned back to Peter and said, Peter, you're acting in the hand as a tool in the hands of the devil. But then if you take your Bible, Peter receives another look in the Gospel of Luke in the 22nd chapter. And I've often thought about this look. In Luke 22, you'll remember the Lord had told Peter he would deny him 3 times. And Peter said, no, I won't, Lord. I'll go to prison with you. I'll die with you. But you remember beginning in verse 54, that through verse 62, he denies him 3 times. But look carefully at verse 61. After the rooster had crowed in verse 60, after Peter had denied him for the 3rd time, the Bible says in verse 61, the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Now, have you ever thought about that look? Can you picture in your mind what that must have been like to receive that look from Jesus? Oh, I'll tell you, I've often thought about what that must have felt like. Just exactly how did Jesus look when Peter observed it? But I know one thing, it brought to mind the words of the Lord to Peter, and it caused him to go out and weep bitterly. Jesus didn't have to say a word. Jesus just looked, and it pricked the heart of Peter. It made Peter see that he was in sin. Here Peter, who had a heart of rock for that moment of time, was melted, and he went out, and he cried a river of tears. But I want you to think about something else. Open your Bible in the book of Mark and the 3rd chapter for just a moment. And when you come to the book of Mark and the 3rd chapter, you'll look in verse 5, And you'll remember that there was a man who had a withered hand who came to the synagogue. And it was the Sabbath day, and you'll remember the people watched him closely to see if he would do some miracle so they might have something to accuse him of. I've often thought about what kind of people would look to trap Jesus for doing good. But notice that Jesus in verse 3 told the man to step forward. And then Jesus asked, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill? And the people kept silent. They're wanting to see what he's going to do. But look at verse 5 carefully. And when he had looked around at them with anger, being grieved by the hardness of their hearts, he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored as whole as the other. Then the Pharisees went out and immediately plotted with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him. You ever thought of the look of Jesus with anger when he looked around because of the hardness of the hearts of the people? Jesus gave a look of anger because they had hard hearts. They did not want to see that man healed. They wanted something to accuse Jesus of. But then, I want you to think about the fearful thing of seeing that look of anger. But then if you take your Bible, turn to the book of John in the 19th chapter. And when you come to the book of John in the 19th chapter, Jesus is upon Calvary's cross. And can you imagine all that Jesus saw while he was upon the cross of Calvary? But look, if you will, in verses 25 through 27, which we spoke about Sunday, where Jesus was on the cross and he looked down and he saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved. And he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. And he said to the disciple, behold your mother. Have you ever thought about the look Jesus could have gave from the cross? Can you imagine the look of love he gave his mother and John as he hung there? Well, I've often thought about what love as he is dying to make sure that his mother's taken care of. I want to take that. I want to make several points of application in the lesson journey. The first thing I want you to think about is that Jesus sees all. Notice in Mark 11:11, when Jesus went into the temple, he observed all things. And you know, my friend, you may feel small, you may feel worthless, but one thing you can count on, Jesus sees you. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords sees you. In Revelation chapter 2 and 3, you remember when the churches were being persecuted? There was one thing that was commonly repeated. Jesus said, I know, I see. And one thing I appreciate is I know that he sees us in our time of need. Secondly, have you ever thought about people can tell a lot about the expression on your face? Now, sometimes some people just may have a natural snarl. I remember one time I thought one fellow was just giving me a face during preaching, and that's just the way his face was. Nice fellow. But one thing I need to realize is that one thing you can't beat is a smile. And sometimes some people are just looking for a friendly face. But that brings up a third thing. Have you ever thought about when we rebuke someone that we do so out of love? You ever thought about how Jesus rebuked? Now Jesus didn't back down. But you remember what Paul said in Galatians 6:1? When he said, if a man be overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one with a spirit of what? Gentleness. Considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. How would you want someone to come to you if you're in sin and rebuke you? You want them to do it with gentleness. Sometimes we come with guns a-blazing and we act condescending, and instead of helping that person make their life right, we make it more difficult for them. I'll tell you something. You have to be honest with people. But you do it out of love, and you do it with a spirit of gentleness. But that brings up another thought. When you look at the look that Jesus gave Peter, have you ever thought about what was in that look? And does the eye of Jesus stir us up? Have you ever thought about things that we've done, just like Peter, broken vows, broken homes, broken pledges, Do we remember that we once said we'd follow Jesus and now we're far away from Jesus? Some of us need to see that look and return and repent. Because we find in Mark 3:5, the Lord looks on the heart. He can judge our heart. And the Lord is always looking. The eye of the Lord never dims. And we cannot escape the eyes of the Lord. But that brings up one last thought in the lesson, Jerry. Will we look at Jesus? Open your Bible to the Old Testament for just a moment, to Isaiah chapter 45. And when you come to Isaiah 45, look at the statement made in verse 22. Look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is no other. You know what I need to do? I need to look to the cross. I need to see that God sent His Son, and that there's salvation in no other name, as it said in Acts 4:12. I need to remember to look to Jesus. Look in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. Looking unto Jesus. Oh, I like that statement. The author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Do you see Jesus? And I want to ask you a question as we close. What kind of look would Jesus be giving you? Would He be looking at you because you're a disciple and have joy? Would He look at you with anger because your heart is hard? Would He look at you with grief because you're away from Him? Just what kind of look would you receive from the Christ? You remember, my friend, it says in John that they shall look on Him whom they pierce. When I look at Jesus, what kind of look do I get in return? Let us pray. Our Father, as we lift up our eyes to Thee, we're thankful for Jesus. We're thankful for the hope we have of eternal life because of His sacrifice on the cross. We're thankful that we can be obedient to Your Word and put on Christ in baptism and have our sins blotted out. We're mindful of those, Father, who are away from You, who need to make their life right, and we pray that they will come before it's too late. Help us, Father, to remember the looks of Jesus, and may they ever be imprinted on our heart. This we pray in His name.